All those of you that have been working in camp and preparing for children's camp there at Wilderness Point, many of you came yesterday, many of you came last Saturday and worked, and I just anticipate that we'll have a great camp, and we do want you to be involved in that. I hope that you'll come and eat with us and fellowship with us, be there for the services, and come and just be a part of what your church is doing there. When that kicks off, we'll have our Sunday evening service there, and it'll be part of the worship time. And I hope that we can just fill that mountain up with folks, and that we'll see a lot of people saved, that we'll see young people come to know Christ as their Savior, but also that we would get to reach into some homes that we wouldn't normally get to reach into, and get some parents and be able to love on them. And I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. Bring your lawn chair and just hang out, and we'll have a good time in the Lord. There'll be a lot of work going on also, and you know, I know the food's going to be fantastic. It's not like camp food. This is not camp food. This is going to be great food. A few years ago, when I was still able to go to Siloam Springs, before they told me I couldn't go any longer. No one told me that. I called Gwen on Wednesday, and I said, come and get me and take me somewhere to get something to eat. I'm starving to death. And she did. But that doesn't happen at our camp. We're in for some great meals, and thank you for your contributions in that way. Some of you have been giving money toward hamburger meat, and the Young Bloods have taken two hogs up to be butchered, and we're going to have whole hog sausage, fresh, homegrown, all week. Isn't that going to be good stuff? Oh, it's going to be great. So you can look forward to that, and I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. Just bathe that thing in prayer. Just keep that before the Lord. And wouldn't it be great? Revival breaks out up there on that hill, and just energizes us and our church, and all of us get revived, get to be a part of what God is doing. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 22nd chapter. Matthew's Gospel, the 22nd chapter. Last week, we talked about the great invitation. This is another invitation, and it is the invitation of the marriage supper. And this is coming. This is coming. The Lord is coming. We talked about the King coming, and the King is coming, and the end is coming, and the tribulation time is coming. And the Lord said on a number of occasions, I come quickly. He tells us in several different places that it's going to be a time that you think not. Adrian Rogers says it must be on Monday, because he said, I can't think on Monday. So I can identify with that. It'll be a time of unexpectedness for those who are lost, but for those of us who are saved, the Bible says that it should not come as a thief in the night. We should be able to read the signs of the time. We should be able to see what is going on around us and how Scripture is being fulfilled, and we know that the end is coming close. Let's take as many with us as we possibly can. Let's see as many saved as we possibly can. We want to see our loved ones come to know Christ as their Savior. Our brothers and sisters, our moms and dads, our nieces and nephews, our cousins, people that are next door neighbors, people that we are acquainted with, to come to know Christ as their Savior in the free pardon of sin. And you and I have the message. It would be a sin for us not to share the message with those that are lost. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And it's Matthew 22 and beginning with verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. Now, a parable is something with a hidden truth, something that we're to break open and to look into. Jesus says it's hid to those that don't want to see, but it's there for those who have eyes to see. And so it's something that is broken open. And so the parable is broken open and we get the goody on the inside. And this is what he's talking about here. And so he spake unto them again by parables or illustrations and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now you know who the certain king was. That's God the Father. The Son is his Son, Jesus Christ. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. That's us. Now, we're the ones that are calling. Now, you categorize yourself here. Which place are you in? Are you the one that's being called? Or are you the one that's calling? Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they, look at this. What? They made light of it. And he went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise? Really? Really? People would not do that, would they? And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So he's talking about through the ages. He's talking about what has happened previous to us, what's going on right now in all the world. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was mad. He was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. You've been given the invitation. You've been given the opportunity. I've been given the invitation. I've been given the opportunity. Worthy? Go ye therefore unto the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Did you ever notice that? Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, now pay very close attention, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants. Now here, see where this changes. Notice how this changes. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Can you connect that? And take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth just because he didn't have on the right wedding garment. Well, you see, the Lord is explaining to us here how important this wedding garment is. For many are called, but few are chosen. Lord, I pray that you would anoint my thoughts and my tongue today. I speak those things that you would have me speak, that I'd be your man in this place, behind this desk. God, I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes today to be able to see the truth of this word. And Lord, if I just try to hammer this point home, I'd just be worthless at it. But your Holy Spirit can pierce the hearts of individuals who need to hear this, who don't have on the wedding garment, who've chosen works or church membership or trying to do the right thing in place of the wedding garment. And I just pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would search our hearts today, that we know that we have on the wedding garment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now there's some background that you and I need to know about this. And I wish that we had time would allot us to just go back to chapter 21 and read everything that has led up to this place where the Lord is teaching us here in chapter 22. So he's come into town triumphantly, and he came in on a white stallion. Did you notice that? Is that correct? Are you paying attention? How did he come in? On a donkey. Showing humility. And do you remember that they were laying their coats in the road? And they were cutting down palm branches and they were laying them, strewing them in the street as Jesus come in. Where's Becky Palmer at? She can tell us all about this. All right. Becky had that in her sight, didn't you? They throw their coats in the road. They put palm branches in the road. Others of them took palm branches and waved them. And they said, Hosanna to the King. The King has come. Jesus has come. And then he follows that by cleansing the temple. So he's run the money changers out of the temple. And he's teaching and he's healing those who would come to him. And in verse 14 of chapter 21, the blind and the lame come. You know, when we get rid of all the show, when we are able to get folks back out of the way who are trying to run the show, who really do not have the heart of the Lord, who are doing it for show, who are doing it for gain. When we get that back out of the way, then others who really need the Lord are able to see the truth. And these came, the lame and the blind came for healing. And then the king is challenged, his authority is challenged. In verse 23 and verse 27, they ask him, who gave you the authority to do what you've done here today? Now, I want you to pay close attention to what happens here. He asked them a question. This is the King of Glory. Can you imagine asking the King of Glory, who gave you authority? But these religious leaders had the audacity to be able to ask the King of Glory, who gave him authority. And so he asked them a question. He said, I'll answer you if you'll answer my question first. And my question is to you, where did John get his authority to baptize? And they got in a little huddle and they said, if we tell the truth that we did not accept John's baptism, then the people will stone us to death. They believe that John was a prophet. If we say that we don't accept John's prophet as a prophet, we'll be in trouble. But if we say that we accept him as a prophet, then his next question is going to be, then why did you not do what he told you to do? And so their answer was, "We don't know." And he said, "Well, then I'm not going to tell you. I don't have anything else to do with you." You know what they were? They were questioning Jesus' deity here. See, in order to accept him, they had to accept his deity. They had to accept who he was. To acknowledge Christ, you have to acknowledge your sin. And that's what they were not willing to do. That's the reason that the world will not acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. Because in order to do that, you have to acknowledge your sin. And then he gives us in background in verse 28 through verse 32, he gives the parable of the two sons. And in this parable, he has asked one son to go and work for him, and he said, "No, I'm too busy, I'm not going to do it." And he asked the next son to go and work for him, and he said, "Yeah, I'll get that done." Well, the first son, who said he wouldn't go, thought about it and said, "No, I need to do what my father has asked me to do." And he goes and works for his father, does the work for his father. But the one that said that he would work for him didn't do it. This speaks of those who, they're talking about their goodness. And they're dressed up for church. They're relying on church membership. They're relying on their baptism. They're relying on what mama did or daddy did, or maybe how much money they've given at some time, or because they've given some kind of contribution or something. But in reality, their life does not demonstrate the change that must take place in an individual's life in order for them to be born again. And so they're putting on a show. They have a profession, but they do not have a practice. In verse 33 through verse 46, he gives the parable of the wicked husbandman. And this represents the Lord Himself. This represents God the Father. This represents the Lord Jesus, His Son. And His return. Verse 44. I want us to back up. I haven't read this verse, but I want us to back up because he gives this in chapter 22 in reference to everything that has taken place. Look at verse 44. And I think that this concludes everything that he has said. I'm in the wrong. 44, that's not the verse I'm looking for. Let me try. Huh? Yes. Thank you. The older you get, the more you act like Lyle. 44. That's right. "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." What's he talking about there? He's talking about the Lord Jesus, right? So don't let the thought leave you. We're still talking about the wedding garment. We're going to get to the wedding garment. "Whoever falls on this stone will be broken." You see, the Bible teaches us that the only way that we can come before the Lord is in humility. That we fall before Him. That we're broken before Him. That Jesus, whosoever shall confess the Lord Jesus. Believe on Him. Put their trust in Him. Fall before Him as King. But then He adds something else. There is something else here in this verse. Whoever falls before Him. But then He says, whoever this stone falls on. Look at it. Whoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Who's the stone? Well, the stone is Jesus. And so here in this life, you and I have a choice. Are you hearing me today? We have a choice. We can fall before the stone and be broken before Him. That's the place we want to be. We won't be broken before Him. Or if we do not choose Him as Savior, one day we will meet Him as Judge. And He will fall on us. And it will be like the man without the wedding garment. We will be crushed to powder. Parabolically. Actually, you're going to live from now on. Okay, let's look at the great invitation here in the chapter 22 that is before us. The great invitation is to come. And do you know that Jesus is, as you read the scripture, Jesus is constantly giving an invitation. Have you noticed that in your own life? That He's constantly giving you an invitation. He's constantly inviting you to do something. That's, as you read the scripture, that's what the Lord is, He is always doing that. When He preached on the seashore, He borrowed a boat, didn't He? He asked for a boat, push Him out a little ways from the shore and let Him preach, and then He says, let's go out, catch some fish. He didn't have a boat. He didn't have a net. He didn't have anything. All that was borrowed. He is constantly asking folks to do something. Is it wrong for the church to expect people to do stuff? Now, I realize that you are not saved by works. You're saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. But is it wrong for us to ask folks to do something? Jesus constantly is giving the invitation for people to do stuff. To work. To do things for the kingdom. To build the kingdom. He's constantly giving us an invitation. And the invitation is to us. This week, a man stuck out his hand to shake my hand. And I shook his hand, and the Lord said, over here in this ear, are you going to talk to him? Are you going to mention me to him? Are you just going to shake his hand and let him go? He's constantly giving us an invitation. He's constantly inviting us to work for Him, to do for Him. You'd say, oh, I don't know if I like that or not. Well, it's what the Scripture teaches. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's an invitation. What an invitation! When the invitation to come was given to Peter, it was to walk on the water. Here's the invitation again. He's given the invitation again to walk on water. His invitation to the rich young ruler was to sell what he had and give it to the poor and come and follow him. What an invitation! Jesus' invitation to the four fishermen was to come after me and I'll make you fishers of men. He's given the invitation again. Jesus invited the little children to come to him and he placed his hands on them and he blessed them. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. I think that if we study the New Testament, there is no telling at the invitations that the Lord gave. He's just inviting people all the time to do things, to show action to their relationship with Him. Do this, move, show action. Now let's get back to verse 5 before we leave this. Those who were invited made light of it. Now can you believe that? An invitation from the Lord. And we just treat it like the preacher preaching. We paid no attention. We just went in one ear and out the other. He wasn't really talking to us. He's talking to those other people. The invitation goes out and they made light of it. They made light of it. You and I have the opportunity to serve Him and we would make light of it? We would make light of the invitation that He has given us? One went to his farm. Another went to his merchandise. Oh, well, that's just the world. That's just the way things are. You got to make a living. Nobody think too much about that. Can't expect everybody to be involved. And so there's two groups here. There's two groups that the Lord brings our focus to. Now the one made light of it. The invitation. And the others did something else. What did the others do? Huh? They killed the messengers. Kill the messenger. We don't like the message. Kill the messenger. They kill the prophets. They kill the ones. They destroyed the ones that were spreading the gospel. Did you know that they tell us that there is more people have died for their faith in the century that you and I are living in than at any other time in history? Can you believe it? So here's two groups. Here's two groups. One made light of it, went to their merchandise, went to their farm. The other killed the messengers. Now, who's the worst? Well, we'd say, well, the ones that kill the messengers. But how's the Lord looking at that? Why did He give us two groups? He said, there's going to be this one group that'll treat my message like it doesn't, like a hill of beans. And this other group is going to fight against it. They're going to try to bring it down. And that's what's happening in our country right now. Trying to bring down the message. Trying to destroy the messengers. Trying to put so much pressure on the messenger that he won't give out the message. So, really doesn't matter which group you're in. Both of them are bad, wrong. Both of them are bad, wrong. Then he says, and I won't spend a whole lot of time on this because I spent quite a bit of time on it last Sunday. There's somebody that will come if we'll invite them. There's people that's going to come. We just need to get the invitation out there. Folks are going to come. And this is hedge people. This is the lame, the blind, and the halt. This group that's going to need some help in order to come. This is the group that you're going to need to meet in the parking lot and say, come in with me, I'll come and I'll sit with you. I'm a little surprised that some of you didn't meet anybody in the parking lot today. But this is the group that will come if we'll just invite them. They won't look like us or smell like us or be like us perhaps, but they will come. And God means for us to invite them. And here's a group that made up the wedding feast. And then the feast has taken place, and all those that were gathered in to the great feast, which symbolizes the kingdom of God, symbolizes the marriage supper of the Lamb, really. But he doesn't call it that. But he's talking about those who have been born again, who've put their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus. They've come to the supper. And the way that they got the wedding garment is the Lord Jesus himself. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? And friend, is that the truth? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you cannot be saved any other way, and you cannot get a wedding garment any other way but through the blood of Jesus. So here's one. Now here's a parable. He's opened it up. Here's one that's tried to get in some other way. People say, well, I'll just make it. I think that I'll talk to God when I get there. And when I explain to him my theory, he'll go ahead and accept me into heaven. Because this is what I've lived on all of my life. I've lived on this theory all of my life. I was trying to witness to a man on the street at Tuckerman one time, and an older man. And I began to try to talk to him about Jesus, and it was obvious he did not want to talk, and he didn't want me talking to him. And pretty soon he said, well, this is what I believe, preacher, that everybody, that every tub has its own bottom. And I said, well, what does that mean? Well, it's just what I said. In other words, I have my own theory about how I can get to heaven. Well, friend, if it is not what the Scripture teaches, it's a zero. And you cannot be there. You cannot be saved unless Jesus is your wedding garment. Unless Jesus is your feast garment, unless the blood of Jesus has covered you. Now this is something that I use sometimes when I try to figure out whether people are saved or not. Because, you know, people tell you that they're saved when they're not saved because they don't want you to talk to them about it. Oh yeah, I was saved in Vacation Bible School when I was 8 years old and went forward, and I was baptized along with 25 others. Well, let me ask you a question. If you stood before the Lord today and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your response to that question be? I'm a member at Osage Baptist Church. That's not good enough. I'm glad you're a member if you're a member, but I want to tell you, dear friend, that won't take you to heaven. Well, I was baptized in Osage Creek, and it was real cold, and I remember the day, and there was a whole bunch of us got baptized, and I was baptized with them. That won't do it. Well, we tithed all of the time that we gave thousands of dollars to the church to build the church and build the buildings. Well, surely that would be sufficient. It's not. So how would you answer? How would you answer? If that's some of your answers, how would you answer? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from my sin. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and I've accepted that. I have invited Him into my heart as personal Savior. I'm telling you, dear friend, there is not one ounce of anything in me that deserves to go to heaven. I know Lanny, and he's not good enough to go. He can't stay good enough. He can't do enough good things. He can't stay on the wagon long enough. It has to be by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus and His death on the cross for my sin. What can wash away your sin? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want you to notice that the one that was there without the wedding garment, he didn't have anything that he could say. He's speechless, the Bible says. He was speechless because he had not done what was required. Let's stand together. I want to ask you today. I realize that folks doubt their salvation a lot, different times. The most important thing is that you've done everything that the Bible says in order for you to do in order to be saved. And the devil put doubts in your mind. So I don't want to play on some kind of doubt that you've had. I've had doubts. I don't want to play on some kind of doubt that you might have. If a guy were to say, I've never had a doubt in my life, I'd say, well, you're different than most people I know. I don't want to play on some kind of doubt. But folks, I want us to look at this really seriously today. Have you invited Jesus into your heart as personal Savior? And has there been a change in your life? Some kind of change. I mean, the difference. I know that different people change in different, some it's dramatic, some it's not as dramatic, sometimes it's longer. But some kind of change, some change in your life because you've invited Jesus into your heart as personal Savior. Or would you stand before the Lord today and say, I've not done it. I've gone through the motions. I've been baptized. I'm a member of the church, but I'm not saved. Or there's never been a time in my life that I've said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior right now. I want to give this invitation to you. Would you step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at as we sing today? If you're here today and you've done that, you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and that's you need to do that today. Would you do that today? If God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, would you do that today? If you're unsure, why not be sure today? So, as we sing, you come right now.